Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and today's conversation is with Sam Mock, the Chief Financial Officer of the U.S. Department of Labor. Joining us in our conversation is Morgan Kinghorn, another PwC partner. Well, Sam, how will you measure success in improving financial management?
The way I would measure it is from the CFO's office, Sam Mock and the staff can provide timely and useful information to our clients, including executives and other users. That's the first, criteria. The second criteria is that everybody who works in the CFO's office at Department of Labor will become a better and more informed employee after I'm done there. What does that mean? Given their career in the government, as I observe, I call it a frog and a whale syndrome in a very positive way. If you sit at the bottom of a whale, after a while, the sky is as big as the mouth of the whale. So my goal is get the frog out of the whale to see that there's a whole new world out there so that they know how they fit into the bigger picture. So that when requests for information comes from the top, they can relate to the bigger picture and make this information more useful. I'll tell you a less than one minute story about a balloon. A man was riding in a balloon to see the countryside, and he got caught in a windstorm. So when the wind died, he finally felt a sigh of relief that he's going to live, but he needs to figure out where he is. He's totally lost. Suddenly he saw a man walking in the field down there, and he lowered the balloon and started yelling. He said, "Hey, man, I'm lost. Can you tell me where I am?" So the man stepped back, looked up, thought for a while, and said, "Sir, you're about 300 feet in the air." So the guy said, "You must work for the government as an accountant." The man said, "My God, how do you know?" He said, "Because the information you gave me is technically correct, but totally useless." What I'm trying to do is, that's how you come to the CFO's office and Department of Labor, our staff wear a balloon pin that I give them, remind them that when a client, a user come to us for information, not only is it important to give technically correct information, but think of how they're going to use that and make it useful for them. That I call success.
You, as we talked about, you're a presidentially appointed official, so now we all need to call you honorable for the rest of your life. Not that you always
that and $1.25 will get you a cup of coffee.
Right. But you were also once, just like the rest of us, sort of a career official. What do you find the differences there in terms of what you're facing now and what you faced when you were a career in terms of making things happen?
It's a very interesting change because when I was a career senior executive, I think very long term because I have 20 years of retirement. So when I think of projects, when I think of goals, time wasn't very critical to me. Now, because I'm a political appointee or non-career officer, as other would say, I come and go with the president. So the longest I'm allowed to serve is 2.5 more years. So constantly I feel there's a sword over my head that I'm running out of time. I need to do it now. I don't have 20 years to wait. So I become more time sensitive. And at the same time, because of level, I get to see a much bigger picture because as a non-career senior executive, I get involved in many different things. My job definition, my job requirement is not defined by some PDs that say you got to do this and that's it. So I see a much bigger picture. I also am invited to a lot more senior management meetings. So I see their interrelationship much better. So I think as a result of that, my outlook and my goals are different.
And looking back at that time when you were a career official, now you're looking at a staff and an organization with a lot of career officials in them. How do you sense you can maybe change their motivations and how they think about now that you've seen it both ways, maybe differently?
I think the key to a successful relationship, including that between employer and employee, is there has to be a win-win situation for everybody. So the programs I try to initiate within Department of Labor, I always try to explain to my staff and to those who the support I need is what is it in for them? Why is it good for them? And one example I always use is when I leave office, I hope I can go look back and say, hey, we have established the most best practice within the federal government or any CFO offices. That's my personal goal. Why would my staff care? The way I explain to them is, if we all work together towards this, it's glory for you folks too. So one day, if you want a promotion, one day you want to move on to another position, you can say you came from that operation that has the most best practice. Nobody wants to come from an organization that failed, or that's mediocre. So that's one of the ways I try to motivate my staff, that there is a lot in it for them. And usually if I want to initiate a program, I'm trying to talk to them and find out, you know, how can we make sure everybody's wishes are accommodated now. This is not a democracy. I don't take it to a vote. But on the other hand, I think it's important to respect institution knowledge, because a lot of times, you know, they've been there before and they've done that. Why reinvent the wheel? How do we leverage what they know into a new initiative?
Let me ask you Morgan's question a little different way. You were involved in financial management during the first Bush's president, mm-hmm. took a break, mm-hmm. and came back and now involved in financial management 8-ish years later. How did the two compare? What were your observations when you came back?
A lot of initiatives during the first Bush administration were actually carried out in different ways in the 8 years of Clinton and Gore. And, for example, the reinvention of the government is really, in my personal opinion, an extension of some of the things we did in the first Bush administration. But this particular Bush administration, I think, is more specific. For example, there are the getting to green, very specific goals and very clear path to get there. The other major difference I find is there's a tremendous amount of teamwork within this administration. I'm just totally awed by the teamwork. I think the current President Bush, is extremely focused. He showed a tremendous interest in financial management and also management in the government. And my boss, Secretary Chao, also showed a tremendous personal interest. My other experiences, I've been in government 3 times prior to that. Top bosses are more interested in the core mission of the agency they had. Those Secretary of State more interested in foreign affairs, for example, defense more interested in, you know, readiness, that kind of stuff. Management has always taken a back seat. Under this administration, I think our president being an MBA, our secretary being an MBA, place a lot of emphasis on management, and they know that that's a core to good government, and they actually spend time on it. They actually, you know, call people on the carpet about it, and so people are taking this very, very seriously. Not because they're afraid, because they understand it's important and they want to.
Where do you see the sort of the CFO Office of the Future going in terms of whether it's Department of Labor or Education? What do you think 5 years, 6 years from now, your functional areas will look like? What do you think you'll be really focused in on?
My office in labor is a fairly typical office within the federal government at the cabinet agency level. My paradigm is I have 2 pyramids, and I show my staff from time to time, kind of remind them. And I think Morgan Kinghorn also understand that theory, because actually I stole that idea from him way back 20 years ago, 15 years ago. On the left-hand side, if you look at that pyramid, my current operation anyway, I think at least 60% of that pyramid is transaction. If I do a time analysis of my staff, transaction with no real value added. Paper come in, paper get processed, paper go out. Maybe 15% are reporting, 20% are reporting, and then very little decision support and some control because preoccupied with transaction. The pyramid on the right-hand side is 20% transaction, maybe 10% reporting, and the rest is decision support and decision and control. How does one get from one to another? Well, through technology. Because if you have single point data entry, then you don't have to rekey, re-verify, and so forth. So you reduce your transaction time. E-government is a wonderful example of that. So if you implement e-government to the fullest, it's all electronic, and reduce error, reduce reconciliation, and reduce transaction processing time. Well, it's because of e-government, you also reduce report production, report programming. People will get report on demand at will and the format you want. So you free up all those time to provide decision support. Obviously, that will require a different workforce, because then we're going to more analysis, more advisory role. That's what CFO is all about, and the staff provide advice and leadership. We are right now have the tail wagging the dog. We spend most of the time trying not to make mistakes, and I think that's the future, is more advisory, more leadership.
Speaking of the future, what advice would you give to a young person who's interested in a career in government or perhaps even in the Department of Labor?
I think, first of all, a young person ought to get an intern, young meaning in this case doing school for me, get an internship in the summer or part-time work. I did, you know, I went to a work-study program. See what the government's like up front, up close, because on the outside it looks different. For example, my daughter wanted to be a doctor, so we arranged for her to work in a hospital in summer. And after 1 summer, she said, I don't want to be a doctor. And then she said, I want to be a lawyer. So we arranged for her another summer to work in a law firm. She said, I really like that. So another summer, we arranged for her to work in another law firm, a different size, different type of transaction. 3 summers in a row, 3 different kind of law firms. She loved it. She's now a very successful lawyer, and we did the same thing for our son. So the point is, if you want to pursue a career in the government, get some real experience through an internship or part-time work, point one. Point two is you really got to ask yourself, why do I want to do this? Government work, government career is really a calling. Other than political appointee, if you want to be a career civil servant, which is a very honorable profession, you need to have that calling. So you have to have that kind of personality. If you're about money, government is not the place to be. A lot of people think that they can come in and get power. I think they're going to be sadly disappointed. So you have to be satisfied with the psychic income that I talked about earlier. It is a calling. And public service, really, that's what that is all about.
And that's a good ending point, Sam. I'm afraid we're out of time, but Morgan and I want to thank you for being with us this morning.
Thank you very much.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Sam Mock, the Chief Financial Officer of the U.S. Department of Labor. Be sure and visit us on the web at endowment.pwcglobal.com. There you can learn more about our programs, and you can also get a transcript of today's conversation. Again, that's endowment.pwcglobal.com. This is Paul Lawrence. See you next week.